This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Fabulousness is his middle name, Mr. Rob Center, big Phillies fan on the other side of the glass, taking good care of us today. He is our producer. On the news line this morning, Roxana Larson is here, Director of Sports Medicine at Geisinger. Roxana, thank you so much for calling in this morning.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
I really do appreciate it. We're going to talk about concussions and head injuries and what folks in the sports world should know, maybe what parents might want to know, and really just what's happening in the world of concussions. It seems to be brought up and talked about a lot more these days. Let's talk about what is a concussion when it comes to head injuries. What precisely is the physiology that happens there? I know you're not a doctor, but in the sports world, what do you know that is happening when a concussion happens?
Well, when a concussion happens, it's basically a bruise to the brain, very layman's terms. You injured the brain. There is bleeding involved, not to scare too many about the bleeding, but it is a bleeding in the brain, and there can be severity of levels to it, but basically that is a concussion.
And I used to sort of think of some of the football players that I'd be associated with, or other athletes, soccer players, that they'd get a minor head injury. But I noticed that in the sports world today, they don't seem to sort of have any minor mode that's associated with that. Is there such thing as a minor head injury anymore?
Not anymore. Our classifications have changed. Years ago, we used to grade them, but everyone reacts so differently. Your body's sensitivity is very different, that we treat every concussion, every type of head injury very seriously, because there are long-term and short-term impacts, and everyone reacts differently. So nothing is considered minor until symptoms have resolved.
And what are the signs of a concussion? How do you know?
There are several different signs. They can range from simple headaches, but most common, those that have had some type of trauma to their head are going to experience headache, dizziness, fogginess. It can be related to just not feeling right, especially when you're dealing with the youth. That's one of the biggest telling signs, is if you ask someone, "How do you feel?" "I just don't feel right." They don't feel normal. Nausea can be associated. It can range from vision trouble, there could be issues, all the way up to your grip strength and neurological troubles. But the first symptoms and signs we talk to parents and coaches about are that headache, that immediate headache, dizziness, not feeling right.
Now, do people generally lose consciousness when there is a head injury that we should be concerned about?
No, loss of consciousness does not always occur. Many times it doesn't occur. So that's why we look and rely on the other symptoms.
So at some of these sporting events, should we have a sort of a clipboard handy, or a medical professional or somebody who's trained, with a checklist to go down this list to see if somebody should go back in and continue playing?
So there are protocols within the state of Pennsylvania, especially in the high school setting. The Youth Sports Safety Act was passed about 10 years ago, that every high school has to have someone that is managing their concussions, that is certified in concussion care. Majority of the schools across the state of Pennsylvania have athletic trainers, and that's what the athletic trainer is trained to handle. Also, there will be, in many high school football sidelines, the physician sideline is helping handle the concussions. We're seeing athletic trainers more and more out in our youth organizations covering so they can assist. There's a lot of concussion education out there for coaches and parents as well. High school coaches are required to complete a concussion education course every year, so they're aware of the signs and symptoms to watch for, so that if they happen to catch that sign symptom before anybody else does, they can pull the athlete from play.
And when should you pull the athlete from play? It sounds like you're going to get a check off on one of these items on the list every time. Then that athlete shouldn't play again that day?
Correct. If you suspect and you pull the athlete off and you work down your checklist, that athlete should not be returning, because there is the concern of what's called second impact syndrome, and that's when we let the athlete go back before the brain's completely healed, and they're more susceptible to concussions later on, and more severe symptoms when that second concussion concurs.
Well, I'm going to ask you this, and there's going to be a couple of parents that are going to yell at me, and a couple of parents are saying, yeah, you go, Mark, so here you go. Should we ban high-contact sports in high school, you know, football or soccer or field hockey?
No, I don't think we should. That's why there's rules surrounding how you play. That's why there's been, over the last, I would say 10-plus years, there's been a lot of education on proper tackling drills. You should not lead with the head. Coaches are focusing more on proper, safe tackling techniques. Just because there's concussions can happen in a car accident. Concussions don't always have to be a direct hit to the head. Concussions can come from taking a hard charge during a basketball game and falling on your back, and it's that movement up the spine that can cause the concussion as well. So we don't need to ban sports. We don't need to ban high contact. We just need to be mindful and smart about, just as we would with an ankle sprain, we treat the head the same way. If there's an injury and they're having pain or having a symptom, we pull them out, we assess it, and we decide whether they are fit to go back into play or not, or if they need time to heal.
Do you sense that more parents are saying they don't want their kids involved in these sports? I've never noticed that trend personally. I've always known a few that said they didn't want their kids in high-contact sports, but most say okay.
I haven't noticed a trend. I've noticed a trend in more variety of sports. I haven't seen a decrease in contact sports. I just think our youth are getting busier at a younger age in multiple different sports. We've seen an increase in youth hockey. We've seen an increase in other youth sports. There's just more for them to do.
If a concussion occurs, what's the protocol? They're not going to play that day. That girl's pulled or that boy's pulled for that particular game. What happens in the days and weeks ahead?
So there's a return to play protocol that physicians and athletic trainers follow. Basically, we are watching them daily. There's a symptom checklist that we do each day, and no activity resumes until all of those symptoms are down to zero. Once those symptoms are down to zero, the actual first step is mental activity. So we make sure they can get through a full school day or a full day of just normal daily activity without any symptoms, being able to listen in the class, take notes, be able to be on and off screens during that time as they use laptops, iPads, depending their setting. That's day one. And then our next day is just easy activity. It's a slow progression back in. Normally about 6 days, it's a slow progression back in with starting a little cardiac activity the first day, about 20 minutes. Next day, we bump it up a little. Then we work in some exercises that will not only increase the blood pressure to a more intense level as if you were lifting weights, but also add in the multidirectional eye tracking that you have to do that can sometimes trigger some symptoms. And we continue that symptom checklist every day for the player to progress to the next day in the step. They still have to be at a zero. So say you get to day three, and all of a sudden you have some of the headaches and then some of those symptoms have returned, we take a step back. We bring you back, we rest until you're back to zero, and then we start over again.
And is there a lot of discretion associated with this? It sounds like it's almost like a pass-fail situation. Either you can complete these tasks or you can't just yet, and then you stay in the protocols.
It is pretty much pass-fail. If someone tends to linger in the protocol a little longer or symptoms tend to linger a little longer, then that's when we start pulling in specialists. There may be neuropsych involved, neurology involved, but everyone is so different with how they heal. It's very individualized protocol.
Is it normal for a kid that has suffered a concussion to struggle a little bit in the classroom, not on the field, but in terms of the classroom work?
There are times. Because of that, because they linger with that sensitivity to light and sound, and having the commotion of the classroom can trigger things. With as much screen time as we do right now, that has impacted a little. but everyone's so different. But there are times it does impact the classroom, and so we have protocols in place. There's a program called Brain Steps that schools in Pennsylvania are associated with that help do modifications and help walk an athlete or any student that's suffered any type of brain injury or any type of injury back into full educational activities.
Are there strategies that coaches and or young people and or parents can really talk about and drill in that would help prevent concussions?
There's really no way to prevent a concussion. What the strategy is early indications, early signs, noticing those signs right away, taking care of those signs and symptoms as soon as they start. That's what helps and prevents the lingering long-term effects and the more negative effects down the road.
Roxana Larson, Director of Sports Medicine at Geisinger. I'm going to give you a magic wand, and I want you to help me take even better care of all young people everywhere. What should we do? Is there something we haven't done yet that would probably be a good idea? What's in the future?
Honestly, I would, if I had a magic wand, it would just be more people. We need right now just an increase of education, an increase of people understanding, and an increase of those interested in wanting to be sideline taking care of our athletes. We have the tools right now. We just need the bodies.
I gotcha. Okay, so that you want that done. Is there a go-to place for more information on all of this topic, sports medicine or concussions in particular?
I know Mike can help direct this forward, but there is information on our website. If you look up the National Youth Football Association, High School Football Association website, there's the information on there for coaches. They have a course. The Pennsylvania Athletic Training Society website has a lot of information. There's the Brain Steps website that has lots of information about concussion.
All right, the National Youth Football Association. What was the second organization you mentioned there?
The Pennsylvania Athletic Training Society.
I got you. Okay. All right. Well,
and then I know our website's got lots of information regarding sports medicine and concussions, the Geisinger.com.
Geisinger.com or Geisinger.org, I guess.
Geisinger.org, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Roxana, thank you so much for the information. I know this really goes to the heart of the matter, so I very much appreciate that. You have an open mic here anytime when you got good information for young people and parents and sports folks out there. So please stay in touch, and we'll talk again.
Thank you so much for the time this morning.
Very much appreciated. Roxana Larson, Director of Sports Medicine at Geisinger, geisinger.org, their main website. National Youth Football Association was one of the other organizations that she talked about.